Hey everyone, this is Tommy Smards, and I'm so glad you're joining with us today. If you're part of the South Towns family or new, we would love to connect with you on our many social media platforms or our website. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by. We invite you to worship with us live. I hope today's message will encourage you and inspire you to draw closer to Jesus. Let's get to the message. I'm going to teach you today. Can I teach today? I brought my sweat hanky up just in case I get a little Pentecostal. I don't know. I got a little felt a little something happening during worship. Got to wipe it away a little bit. You never know. But I want to teach you a little something today because God spoke a word to me. Now what? What do I do with that word? Do I ignore it? Do I put it on a shelf? Do I think that it wasn't the word of God, but it was the tacos I ate the night before, and it was just a dream because of the food? What do I do? We are in the beginning of a series called Stewardship, and I want to biblically teach and biblically preach the principles of learning how to manage and utilize all the resources that God pours into our lives. Resources such as finances, resources such as relationships, resources such as gifts and talents that God has given you individually. All of these types of resources and more, time, whatever they may be, how do we utilize them and manage them accordingly to get the fullness of what God has for us? I think it's important in today's day and age, I think it's been important since the beginning of time, that we utilize and we learn to steward what God gives his people. And when we learn to steward it and steward it according to God's will, according to God's plan, according to God's purposes, the blessing, the release from the heavens that is poured out is unremarkable. It's amazing. It's something to behold. And so that's why we're doing this series, because I believe that so many of us have so many things that God has poured into us that I've been reminding myself. These messages are also for me, that I stay in tune with what I'm supposed to do to make sure that I'm stewarding everything right as well. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to learn how to take what the Lord spoke to me and begin to steward it, to see it come to pass, to see the outpouring, to see the blessing, to see the move of God's hand in it. Because, you know, God does speak to his people. He gives prophetic words to people individually, to churches corporately, to communities, and God will speak over the nation. Amen? We need to understand that. Not only does God speak individually, but he speaks church corporately. But he also speaks to a region or will speak to a nation. And so we must understand that. And then when we get that word, we need to realize that God is looking for a response on the behalf of those who he's speaking to. He doesn't just want to speak a word and then ignore it. Now, I have children, okay? Anyone got children in this place? When you speak to your child, do you expect a response? Now, of course, the response you get, you may not like, and you may have to fix that response. You know what I mean? However, you got to fix it. You got to fix that response if it's not the right one. But you expect a response, right? Well, God expects a response from his people, his children, you and I, when he speaks to us. We need to understand that. We need to understand that God is looking for us to hear what he's saying and have the belief, the trust, and the faith that what he's saying is true and that it shall come to pass. He doesn't want us to hear it and then respond this way, oh, that'll never happen. That'll never happen. Really? I always use the greatest example. If God can create the heavens and the earth, why can't God move in that function or that dimension in our own lives? You know what I mean? I mean, when was the last time you created an earth or the heavens or created the trees or you spoke healing from your mouth and the power that you, we don't. But he wants a response. He wants that trust. He wants that faith that it's going to come to pass. But he also wants us to steward it properly. He doesn't want to give a word and have us abuse it. He doesn't want to give us the word and have us not try the best that we can to see it come to pass. He wants us to work it out. Say that, work it out. We got to work it out. We got to grab a hold of it. We got to believe it. We got to trust it. We got to put our faith in it, and we got to work it out. We got to steward it. And so God speaks to his people. God speaks to his people. You know, I was going to say this earlier, but I'll say it now. We need to realize that God can speak to you today. You need to realize that God is still speaking to his people today. I want to tell you something, that there are a lot of people who say this: God doesn't speak to his children today. Let me clarify. Let me set something straight. God does not have laryngitis. All right? He does not have laryngitis in any way, shape, or form. God is on the throne. God is in the heavens, and God is still speaking to his children each and every day. We just have to understand and get a clarity of the voice that God is speaking to us in, and drown out the other voices and ideas and things that are there, and grab a hold of what God is saying. Well, how do you know, Pastor, God's still speaking? Well, because in Malachi, the word says that God does not change. So therefore, if I look at the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, if God spoke to his children in the Old Testament, if God healed in the Bible, if God poured out and brought resurrection life in the Bible, if God spoke then, he's going to do it today. Amen? See, because he did it then, he's doing it now. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible tells me in Hebrews that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? So if God yesterday spoke to his people, God today will speak to his people. And just so you all know, God will speak to my grandchildren in the future. Amen? Because that's who God is. God spoke to Moses. God spoke to Noah. God spoke to Paul. God spoke to multitudes of people throughout the word. And I want to read an example of God speaking to somebody that I think maybe we all can align with at some point in this scriptural reading. I'm going to read to you from the book of Judges. It's in the Old Testament. We will have it on the screens. This is a small account or a small portion of the story of Gideon. Gideon was a man of God. Gideon was in a land where the Midianites were kind of ruling and reigning. God had taken his people from Egypt. They seemed to forget certain things at certain times, and therefore they were being kind of ruled and reigned by the Midianites. And, it wasn't looking too good. People were kind of upset about it. And so now an angel in verse 11 appeared, an angel of the Lord came, and he sat under an oak tree in Ophrah belonging to Joash. He was a bite. I can't pronounce that word. I'm going to butcher it. But he was a bite. He was an ite. And that was Gideon, his son, was threshing wheat in a wine press to hide from the Midianites. So they were dealing with food, and they were hiding what they were doing because they were underneath such oppression, such control, okay? Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." He saw something in Gideon. God saw something in Gideon. Let me declare this in the atmosphere today. God sees something in you, okay? God sees something in each and every one of you. We have to begin to see what God sees in us. We have to see the special uniqueness of what God sees in us and grab a hold of that. We need to stop saying, "I can't, I'm not good enough." No, if God sees something in you and begins to release it, grab a hold of it. And here's Gideon. And I love what he says. He declares, "O mighty man of valor." He doesn't just see something. He tells him how mighty he's going to be and how mighty he is. Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has this happened to us? Where are all his miracles from our fathers that were told to us, or that told us about? They said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? Yet now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.'" God never leaves you nor forsakes you. God's always with us. We may not see him working on the front side, but he's working maybe on the sides. He's working on the backside. We need to understand that. But also realize, if you ever notice in these circumstances in the Bible, when they ask those questions, you can always track back to where it got sideways. When they stopped worshiping, when they stopped, doing what God called them to, when they began to worship fake idols, they kind of always got sideways there. God never left them. God's always been there. They just may not have been in tune with what God was doing or connected in the dimension they were called to. Two more verses. "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this strength of yours, save Israel from the control of Midian. Have I not sent you?' And he said to him, 'Oh, my Lord.'" Y'all said that before. I know I have. "Oh, my Lord. How can I save Israel? Oh, my Lord, how can I be what you just called me to be? How can I do what you just asked me to do? Oh, my Lord, what am I going to do?" We've all been there. Today's confession day. We've all been there. You can say that. We've all been there. Because we're going to overcome this. We're going to overcome this by steps. We've all been there. It's okay. Because today's a new day. Today's a day where it's not, "Oh, my Lord." It's, "Oh, thank you, God, that you called me. Well, thank you, God, that you gave me a word. And it says, indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. Then he gave excuses. I'm young, I'm weak, lays it all out. But he says, but when the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you will strike the Midianites as one man. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you have in store for this service today. God, I pray a blessing upon your word. Holy Spirit, speak the words that need to be spoken today and heard by your people here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may grab a seat. And so what happens is, we'll talk a little bit more about this as we move on with this word, is we need to realize that just as God spoke to Moses, God spoke to Joseph, God spoke to Gideon, God spoke to multiple people throughout the world, we must realize that God still speaks to us today. There are people, there are church people who will say God does not speak to us today. That is a lie. That is a blatant lie. God speaks to you and I today, and he speaks a multitude of ways. It's just not one way. God will speak to you in various ways that you will connect with and communicate and understand maybe better than someone else in that specific way or that specific dimension. Well, how does God speak to me, Pastor? How does he talk to me? Well, my God and your God will speak to you through the written word. Let's just start right there, the logos. What the Bible says God will speak to you through. Oh, you know what? I forgot to do this. I got to do this. Y'all get your phones out real quick. Get your phones out. Get your iPads out. If you don't have a smartphone, grab a piece of paper in front of you and a pen and go ahead and grab that, because you need to take some notes today. I'm going to teach you some points today. I'm going to give you, because everything I tell you today, you're not going to remember it all anyways. Shoot, I might lose thought and train of it some way in the afternoon sometime, you know, but it'll come back. But see, I have it written down so I can go back and pull it back up. So go, I want you to write these things down today, the main points of what I'm saying. And then if something in the midst of it speaks to you, write that down too, so you have proof and you have an understanding of what God's speaking. So understand this, that God speaks to us through the word. God speaks to the general word of God, the logos. When you and I are reading the word of God, he begins to speak to us. Do you know that every issue and everything that you and I go through in life, you can find an answer to in this word? You can find a solution to in this word? God will speak to you through this word? Well, what I love about it, it's just not the word of God, but while you're reading the word of God, he'll also speak to you through the moving of the Holy Spirit. He gives you this revelation knowledge, rhema. The Bible says in John 6, it says this, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are of life. See, the Holy Spirit will inspire and speak to you personally. He'll speak to you about specific things, specific times. He'll talk to you about specific needs. And as you're reading the written word, then all of a sudden, as it comes to life, the Holy Spirit also speaks to you. So not only are we receiving revelation now through the word of God, but also through the moving of the Holy Spirit as he reveals and speaks to you in those ways. God will speak to you like he did Elijah on the mountain. He will speak to you in a small, still voice. See, here Elijah was camping out in a cave. Okay. Here Elijah is camping out in a cave. It'll be all right. Here Elijah is camping out in a cave. And in this cave, all of a sudden, there is a giant earthquake, but God's not in it. There's a giant fire, and God's not in it. And then there is a giant wind, and God's not in it. But you know what God's in? This small, still voice. See, God will speak to you in a small, still voice. Yet, Moses is on the backside of the desert, and there's this bush burning. And he hears a voice call out to him. So not only will he speak to us in a small voice, he will speak to us in a large voice. I know you're all concerned. Everything is okay. We have, just so you all know, we have security. We have everything. I got the thumbs up. We have security. We have things that we're all taking care of. So y'all can focus in on what we're doing here. So Pastor Scott's like this in the back. Just like this. We're all good, okay? All right. So we're all good. So, speaks to the Word, speaks to the Holy Spirit, speaks through a small voice, speaks through a loud voice. God speaks through dreams and visions. See, Joseph, y'all know Joe? Joe was this young kid who had a bunch of brothers that really didn't like him because he was daddy's favorite and got all the things, you know. But God one night spoke to Joseph through a dream and vision. See, God will speak to you and show you things about your life and about the future and where he wants to take you through dreams and visions. Joel in the Old Testament, Acts in the New Testament, chapter 2, declares that God will speak and he will reveal things through dreams and visions. It's written in the Word. It's scriptural. It's truth. And so God will speak through dreams and visions. God will speak through another person to you. It's a prophetic word. It's a word of knowledge. God will use specific people to share specific things about what's going on in your life. It's scriptural. You can read about it in Corinthians. It talks about the gifts and how God uses the gifts. See, everything I'm telling you today is scriptural. It's not stuff that Pastor Tommy made up in the living room. It's scriptural. So God speaks to you through the Word. God speaks to you through the Holy Spirit. God speaks to you through the small voice, a large voice. God speaks to you through dreams and visions. God speaks to you through other people. You know, God can speak. God spoke to Gideon through the angel of the Lord. So God will speak to you. But here's the deal. We have to understand and make sure that the voice that you and I are hearing is the voice of God and not the voice of something else. And so let me help you walk through when you decipher and discern that it is the voice of God, what to do with it next, okay? So here it is. Let me give you real quick in the few moments that we have, 10 quick steps to steward the word that God spoke to you. Okay, so this is why you got to write it down, because when you leave here, some of you have a word that hasn't come to pass yet. And I'll be honest with you, speaking out of past experience, some of the words God spoke to me didn't come to pass came to pass longer than they should have because I wasn't stewarding the word properly. I wasn't stewarding what God gave me, and therefore it took time to get to where it needed to go. I was awakened. I'm going to teach you what I do. I'm going to teach you what your pastor does when the word of God speaks something. This is what I do when I get a word of God, okay? The first thing I do is I weigh it. I don't go in the bathroom and pretend I'm holding something, get on the scale, because that's just depressing after COVID, looking down at that scale, right? You know what I'm saying? Like the pants are tight. You know, I went to the gym the other day to reopen my membership back up and get all set because I was like, ooh. I don't actually weigh it on the scale, but what I do is I weigh it against the word of God. I weigh it against the promises of God. I weigh it against what God has been declaring in his word. And we must do that. If we're going to steward this word, we must weigh it. In other words, the scripture tells us to test and weigh the prophecy. We must use our discernment and knowledge of scripture regarding that word, knowing that what that word says lines up with who God is, the character of God, the standards of God. Listen, God would not say this. God would not say to Christian, I want you to fund this particular mission. And I want you to fund this mission by robbing a bank. He would not do that. Now, he would call Christian to support a mission, but he would not call him to support it by doing something that goes against who he is. And so that's why we must weigh the word to make sure that it's according to what God's word says. And then once we realize it, you know, because also, too, a lot of times we perceive it with our perception because of what's happening around us, God is speaking something when it may not be God. It may be our emotions and our feelings and what's happening around us. And so what we want to do is we want to tag, well, God said, when God didn't say what my emotions said, my feelings said. And so we have to weigh it according to the scripture that we know that it's God. Amen? You understand that, right? And then once we get to that point, or very simple, you know what we can do too? We can ask God, God, is this you? Is this your word for me? I've had people say, Tommy, I got a word for you. And they'd give me the word. I'm like, thank you. And I go to God, God, listen, that doesn't seem to line up. Is that you? And he's like, no, that's not me. Simply ask God, is this word for me? Is this my word? Is this what you're speaking into my life? And then once you know that it's the word of God, this is still part of part one. Then we need to believe it. We need to embrace it. We need to remove the doubt. We need to remove the fear. We need to remove the excuses. We need to remove all those things, how we see ourselves not being able to accomplish what God's word has spoken about us, and get those out of our lives. And we cannot take the word and put it on a shelf. We can't take the promise that God gave you and say, okay, I know it's for down the road, so let me just set it over here on the shelf and walk away from it. No, we need to embrace it. We need to look at it continually over and over, which gets us to point two, is once we've weighed it and we realize that it's a word of God, we've silenced the outside voices, we know that it's scripturally lining up, then we have to write it down. You got to write the thing down. Do you know that I can't tell you what I wore yesterday for clothes? I can't. I don't remember. If I can't remember what I wore yesterday during the day, how am I going to remember what God spoke to me 3 months ago? So I write it down. Because once I have it down on paper, once I have it down in my note app or whatever app you use, once I have it down in my journal, once I have it scribbled in my Bible somewhere, now I can go back and revisit it. And once I look at it, then I can begin to read it over. So I'm writing the word down. I'm taking note of it. I'm keeping it in front of me because it's so easy to forget. But also being written in front of us, we have the ability to war over it to make sure that it comes to be established in us and through us. Amen? So once I write it down, number three is I need to begin to pray over it. Sometimes we get the word and then we forget to pray over it. We just were like, oh, God spoke it, therefore, and then we just kind of let it go. No, we need to grab a hold of the word. We need to pray into the word, and we need to pray over the word. Amen? This is how we steward it. I pray over the word spoken. We have a book, prophetic words over this church. We pray over them. I have journals at home with prophetic words I pray over. Pastor Rob, which we'll talk a little bit more, spoke a word to me the other night on the phone. I prayed into it already. I want it to happen. Now. I have zero patience, Lord. Now. So I have to pray over it. And see, I find that when I'm praying over it, all of a sudden God begins to give me further instructions and directions how to move forward in it. And so, and then as I'm praying over it, I'm speaking the word over myself. See, the Lord showed me years ago. See, I pulled out last night in my Bible at home. I have a little Bible at home that I got when I came in the ministry, and I have the prophetic word that was spoken over me at my ordination from Bishop Tommy Reed and from Elder Ray Goodrich and from Bishop Tommy Smarge Sr. and other people were there. They spoke words over my ordination, and I had them written down, and they're in my Bible, and I read over them again last night. And when I got those words, and even till this day, I still speak into those things. I still pray into those things because I need to stay on track with what God is saying and not what I want. There's a big difference because a lot of times my wants sometimes are usually different than God's calls and what we should be doing. And so I need to speak over them. The word even says in Job that you shall decree a thing and it will be established for you. We have to begin to speak and pray prophetically those things which God said to us into our lives. God, you call me to be a pastor. I receive that call. God, as you call me to take this next step, God, strengthen me. God, give me better revelation knowledge. Let me be a better preacher. Let me speak words with greater clarity. Lord God, as I fulfill this word, help me to stop making words up. I just make them up as they come out, and I just go, why did I just say that? Lord, let me to cut that down to nothing. See, I got to pray these things and this word into me. My prophetic word says that I need to beware of my own personal strength. You know why that was spoken over me? Because I'm a let's just grab it and do it right now guy. Okay? So God speaks the word, and I'm just going to grab whatever I need to do and get it done. But the problem is that's not always not how God wants it to be done. Because in my own strength, in my own intelligence, I'm going to fall short. I'm going to come up not where I need to be. And so God was warning me, giving me instructions, don't operate in that. Operate in the strength. So now I'm like, God, Holy Spirit, give me the strength and give me the revelation knowledge to make the right determination, the right choices and decisions to run your ministry. Notice I said your ministry. This is not my ministry. This is God's ministry. I just have the opportunity, the awesome ability to be a steward to the best of my ability to steward this ministry. Do you see what I mean? So I'm praying and I'm speaking the word into me and over me. I'm confessing. I'm looking for promises in the Word that line up with it. I'm reading Scripture. I'm speaking those into me. I've weighed it. I've written it down. I'm praying over it. And now I'm speaking it over my life. Then I would suggest this. When you get the Word and you know that God has spoken to you, I would encourage you to submit it to a spiritual leader or mentor that you have in your life. Not that you want them to know your business, but you want them to be able to look at it and pray with you for what is needed to see it come to pass. Amen? See, we need to ask them to pray into it. We need to ask them, you know, if they see something, which way it may be going or not going, because they have spiritual discernment. My number one mentor is my amazing wife right here. I run things through her when the Lord shows me things. Now, there's times when the Lord shows me something, but I wait for the right time and the right season to share it. I haven't shared it with anybody, but I'll share it with her. Because I've learned that women are discerning, okay? Women are discerning. You know, they're very discerning, more so than guys, I think, because guys like me, we want to muscle it. We want to, you know, women are step back and they weigh the whole picture. I also, besides my wife, I have Pastor Dennis in Florida. I have Pastor Scott and Pastor Rob, that I have Bishop Tom, that I present and I submit. Not that they're going to tell me I can't do something, but I want them praying and believing, interceding, and speaking life into that word that God spoke into my life, that we can have this thing begin to roll out properly. Amen? It's good to have those people in our lives. It's good to have mentors and spiritual people, leaders in our lives. I have a bunch of them. I'm proud to say that. I'm not a lone ranger. I never want to be a lone ranger, because when I'm all alone, I fail. When I'm all alone, it doesn't work out. We need to be a collaborative team. We need to have those people in our lives speaking life into us, praying for us, interceding for us, just sending a text message. Hey, brother, how you doing today? Praying for you. Hey, we need that. And when it comes to the Word of God, we also, I would suggest that we begin to submit to those people, let them look and pray over it and be a part of it with you. But also, number six, look for any type of instructions that will help you in the word that was given. See, for my word, it was, don't do everything in your own strength and your own ability. That was an instruction that God showed me. And saying that, I know your personality, my friend. This is how God speaks to me. I know your personality, my friend. I know your mentality. I know your mindset. So before you go off and do something and fail at doing what you're doing because you're not being led by the Spirit, you're being led by your strength and your own abilities, you need not do that. You need to stop doing that and rely fully on me. So that was an instruction in my word that God spoke to me about being a pastor, about being a minister of this house, that I need to make sure that I'm not doing, that I'm not functioning under, because it's not going to fulfill completely to what God wants to do. And there's other ones as well. So we need to make sure that we're looking for the Word, or looking at the Word as we're reading and praying over it, that there are things that God would ask us to do or not to do, and that we're following those instructions. We're following what the Word of God is saying to us. Gideon, when you read on the Gideon, God's like, listen, your army's way too big. You're just way too big. What I need you to do, Gideon, mighty man of valor, the one who will lead and overtake this nation, I need you to do a couple things. And see, what I love about Gideon, he weighed it before the Lord. See, if you read on after what I read, he got a whole meal together and the angel touched it to prove that it was a word from God. So now Gideon's like, okay. But then also Gideon weighed it a little bit more by laying the fleece out and back and forth. But what was unique about it, in his word of instructions, the Lord says, you need to whittle your army down by thousands. Now Gideon had a choice, to take this massive army or to take the small group of individuals that God wanted him to take. Well, Gideon listened to the word and he whittled it down to what was needed, and he overcame. And so we must look for instructions that are attached to the words or the promises or the plans and purposes that God has given us for our lives. Number seven, we need to see ourselves doing it. We need to see ourselves doing what God showed us. I saw myself doing this right here. I saw myself standing on a platform with Bishop Tom at my side. And we've preached many times together. We've ministered many times together. I saw myself in what God showed me and called me to do folding out before me. I said earlier at the first service, I'd be willing to bet that our worship team has saw themselves leading worship on a platform or in a room or in a stadium or wherever it may be, where they're leading thousands or a small handful of people into the presence of God through singing. We have to begin to see that word coming to pass with us actually doing it. You might be called to missions. You need to see yourselves in a sugarcane hut in the fields of Africa. You need to see yourselves in the jungles of Venezuela. You need to see yourselves on the streets of downtown Buffalo, downtown Hamburg, downtown Angola. You need to see yourselves doing those things in which God is calling you to do. You need to see yourselves grabbing a hold of that word, that promise that God has given you, and actually seeing it come to pass and working it out. It's healthy. We need to view that. We need to see it. It's part of stewarding the dream. It's part of stewarding the word. It's part of stewarding the purpose that we're called to as believers. We're writing it down. We're weighing it. We're praying over it. We're speaking it into our lives. We're looking for instructions. We're seeing ourselves do it. When you look at Timothy and the word meditate in the fourth chapter, the word meditates is to have a framed picture of our mind, of our imaginations, of it happening. Not that we're living in a fantasy world, but God is giving us a vision, and we're placing ourselves in that, and we're seeing it come to pass. We have to see that, because it takes us to number eight, which is the training process. You know what? Your imagination is a good thing, as long as we keep it under control. God gave you an imagination. You need to see yourself in that. You need to view it for what it is. I don't know why I'm stuck on this, but I think sometimes we get a word from God and we don't see ourselves. I think Gideon saw that when the angel of the Lord called him a mighty man of valor and told him that he was going to lead this army to battle and win. What did he say? He didn't see himself as a warrior. He saw himself as the smallest in his clan, which happened to be the weakest of the clan. He didn't see the word that God spoke. He only saw what he visually pictured himself as. We need to not look at what we picture ourselves as, but we need to picture ourselves as what God is calling you. See, we need to picture ourselves as a chosen generation. You need to see yourself as God's sons and daughters. We need to see ourselves as all those promises in the word that declare who we are, a royal priesthood. You need to see ourselves as that. Because when you see yourselves as that, you begin to believe it. And as you begin to speak it, it becomes a part of who you are. Right? I know I can. Why? Because God, you said. God, we have to begin to have a mindset, a mind shift. It's part of stewarding. It's part of stewarding. If I walked around here all the time, oh, that church is, we're never going to make it. We're going to be closing. Are you kidding me? I'm walking around here saying, God, you said 500. God, you said South Towns Christian Center, 500. That's the number God gave us. I pray that 500 people, I pray that. God, you said it. I'm standing on it. No one else told me it. The Spirit confirmed it. God, this is what you declared. I'm not walking around saying, oh, we're going to close the doors because of COVID-19. No, I'm like, no, we're going to explode. And there'll be more salvation. There'll be more healing at the altars. There'll be more kids coming to know Jesus. Junior high, senior high. We're going to have a cross-generational church. God, I don't want just all millennials. I want millennials, but I don't want all millennials. I want the older generation. I want the younger generation. God, why? Because you called this church to be cross-generational. You didn't just call us to be one group of people. If the older generation wants to come in wearing suits and ties, God, welcome them in. If the younger generation wants to walk in the shorts and tie-dyes, welcome them in too. But we are called to be a church, and we know what God has called us, and we're going to be who that is. We're going to speak it. We have it written down. We're going to pray it into existence. We're going to name it. We're going to declare it into the atmosphere, because this is what we're called to do, as we steward what we're to do here. Amen? Amen. We got to do that with our own lives too, and what God's called us to do. And then, real quick, number eight. I don't like eight. I don't like eight, just so you all know. Because it has a word called training in it. Okay? It says we have to embrace the Holy Spirit's training process. Now, has anyone ever trained for something before? You all trained for something, right? I've trained for a couple half marathons. Training is not fun because training takes work. It takes effort. It takes us doing something. It's going to stretch us. It's going to pull us. It's going to do things that we may not be used to. But if we're going to steward the Word of God, we must come to the realization that God is going to train us. He's going to put us through a process where He will begin to reveal His desired outcome for that plan in our lives, which means that He's going to work it through us. He's going to do things that are going to test us and train us to become the person that God wants us to be. And it's not easy. See, my training ground took place in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I had to move all the way over to the middle of the country, where in August it was 105 degrees and sunny every day of the week. It was really tough in August. But I had to go there. I had to leave my family. I had to leave my wife. I had to go there and I had to train myself. I had to discipline myself. And you know what? It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for me because I wasn't the type of learner that once I read it once, it stuck with me. I needed to put hours of work in. I needed to do those things that I needed. It wasn't easy for me because I didn't go as a ministry major, but God got a hold of me and I changed my life around. And now all of a sudden my whole life is now complete 180. And so now I'm trying to cut off these things and embrace the newness of what God's doing as God puts me through this training process to become the pastor or a pastor. And so, but if I didn't embrace the training process, I'd be willing to bet I would not be standing right here with you today. I wouldn't, because it was in the training that helped me become the person I am. And do you know that I still train every day? I still train. I read books. I listen to people preach and teach. A small group with a group of leaders. I'm teaching. I'm training. We never outgrow the ability to be trained. Why do you think our team practices? So they can continue to hone their craft, their art, their gift, their calling. So we must embrace the training process. I think of Joseph. Joseph got this dream and vision that he would be the great man that he was for his nation and for his family. Now, Joseph's training process was not the way we would expect it, would it? All of a sudden, he's sold into slavery. And then he's bought and he's put into a house to run the household. But then he's tossed in jail. Then he's brought out of jail. And then he's placed in second in command. You talk about some crazy training. I thought like hour and 20-minute Tuesday and Thursday classes were like enough, let alone be in prison for a while, right? And yet he went through that training process, and look what God did and how God used him. Number 9, real quick, is this. Know that it's God's timing. Know that God's timing is accurate in your life. And this one's tough too, that the timing of God is always accurate. Now, sometimes God's timing is accurate, but we must do what we need to do to make sure that it comes to pass in that time frame. So, if you know, I wrote here, it's been a while, and if the word hasn't come to pass yet, and you want it real bad, know that God knows what's best for us and the time to release it. Don't release it too early, and don't lag on. Right? We got it. It's all in perfect time. And know this though: when we're waiting for that release, when we're waiting for the timing to come to pass, I want to read this to you. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. I get anxious about stuff. Right? Man, if I hear it, I'm like, yeah, now. Why not now? You know, that's why we didn't tell our kids sometimes until vacation got closer, we were going on vacation. Do you want to know why? Because like if I told my kids like we were going on vacation, like say to Disney, and I told them we're going to go, you know, whatever, but I tell them like 7 months early, do you know what the next 7 months would have been like? Dad, when are we going? Oh, right? Why? Because they're anxious. And when God speaks a word and gives you a promise and shows you a vision or a dream and you have your imagination, you see yourself doing it, you're praying into it, you're reading it over and over, you wait it, you know what's God's word, we get anxious. But it says, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with gratitude, make your requests known to God, because the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I love that. So when I get anxious, about God's word not coming to pass yet. And as you can see, in the middle of COVID, not only our church, but churches all over the area, it's not the same. But we're not going to get anxious. We're going to stay the course. We're going to stay faithful, pushing through, standing on the word, the promises of God, encouraging one another, praying for one another, believing that God's doing a supernatural work, even though we may not see it all the time in front of us, but he's working on the backside. So we're going to know that God's timing is accurate for our life. And then number 10, and we can stand to our feet as we get ready to close, is simply this. Rest in your faith and in your patience with God. Rest in it. We need to rest in faith. We need to rest in our faith and our trust. Faith is the realization that it's going to come to pass. That it's going to come to pass, that the fulfillment will be there, that we're not going to worry that it won't, because we're taking these 10 steps of stewardship. And so, weigh it. Write it down. Pray over it. Speak into it and speak it into your life. See yourself doing it. Understand the training process. I want to make sure I'm not missing one. Submit it to one of your mentors or your spiritual leaders. Look for instructions. See yourself doing it. Embrace the training process. Know that God's timing is accurate. And rest in your faith and your trust and your belief in Jesus that it shall come to pass. I gave you 10 steps that I take to steward a word of God that he gives me. Sometimes some are easier than others. I'm going to be very honest. Some are very easy, and some are not easy. But when we stay the course, it's like barbecue ribs. It's game day. It's like barbecue ribs. If you barbecue your ribs for 20 minutes on the grill, thank you for the invitation, but I can't make it. Just saying. If you barbecue your ribs for 4 hours to 5 hours, slowly rotating them, slathering them up in that barbecue sauce, woo! You know the process. You're a good steward of ribs, amen. Oh, do you see what I'm saying? There's a process. There's a process to stewarding the word that God spoke to you about your life. I walked you through the process. If you miss a step, it could throw the process off. It could delay the process. It could delay. Don't jump steps. Write them down. Follow them. Embrace them. They're there for us to move and to grow forward. It's about stewardship. It's about utilizing and managing what God has given us. God has given and spoken words into your life. And this is how we manage it. This is how we utilize what God is saying to see it come to pass. We do those 10 steps and anything else that God may have for you individually. But I'm going to pray for you right now for those steps. Because if you're like me, you might have missed some. You don't like some, so you try to get through those ones quicker. You try to rush the process. Whatever it may be, but I want to pray for you right now where you're at. That as you now begin to walk through those steps, God does a supernatural work and does something in you to see that come to pass. So, Father, I thank you for every friend, every family member in this worship center this morning. I thank you for those who have tuned in online right now and even those tonight as we relaunch on Facebook and all the other platforms. God, I pray that as we sit here, God, you gave us a 10-step way of stewarding. Father, some are easy and some are hard. Some we want to stay on and some we want to bypass. Father, I declare that this day, that Father, we would stay the course, that you would give us the strength, you'd give us the ability, the understanding, all that is needed, God, to steward your word accordingly. Father, that we look at each step and each process and we understand the importance of it, and that your Holy Spirit helps us to apply it to its fullness in our life and in our walk. Father, I declare that this day, that those words, as we are faithful, as Gideon was faithful to what you call him to do. That as we're faithful to what you've shown us, God, we will see it come to pass. We will see the end result in our lifetime. And God, we will always know that it was not us, but it was a word spoken from you for us, or even for the kingdom and the glory of the kingdom. So God, I thank you that you've laid out a plan that we would follow, that we would walk and live by, to see your purposes, your dreams, your visions, the words that you've spoken to our lives come to pass. And we love you and we honor and bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap? Amen. Remember, write stuff down when you're at church services. Listen to things. Write it down so you have it. All right? We're going to close here in a moment with our offering. Two quick things. Baby dedication, October 18th. You want your baby dedicated? I want to encourage you to get to the website. Get signed up so we can get you signed up into the class. It's going to be the 18th at the 10 o'clock service right here. We want to dedicate all them babies to Jesus. You're making a profession of your faith. You're saying in front of your church family, I am dedicating my child back up to you, Jesus. I'm going to train him or her in the ways of you. So you want to need a baby dedicated, a family dedicated of babies, whatever it may be, October 18th right here at the 10 o'clock service. You got to sign up and get into the class online. Prayer requests, praise reports online. Continue to pray for the Sapienza family as they move forward now with this great tragedy. And then October 18th, we had to push it back. We are all set. We are going to have 3 to 4 different Sunday school classrooms. We are relaunching Sunday school here at SCC, like many other churches. I got teachers in the back dancing, clapping, like, yes, we're ready to go. And so it will be October 18th. You will see how the process will work out, though. It's not going to be the same. It'll be a little bit different. And so we got some more volunteers this morning. We are set to go. I know we're supposed to do next week. And so we're going to be the 18th. If you're a teacher or a volunteer, I will call you tomorrow and explain some more things to you. And I'm going to try to get a meeting for that. But we're excited about that. And so let's pray for our offering. And you have a beautiful day today. Thank you all for being here and worshiping with us. And continue to pray that God continues to move in the dimension that he needs to. So let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity to give today. Lord, to steward the financial things in our lives. Tithing and giving of our tithes and offerings is part of stewardship. God, I pray that we continue to steward properly that which you bless us with in our financial realm. So Father, receive it this day as an act of worship. Bless it and multiply it. Father, let it overflow. Let it overflow into the church, into the lives of this body and this family. God, bless them financially. Open doors and opportunities. Let the windows of heaven open up and pour financial blessings upon your people this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Safe travels. Safe travels. Have an awesome day. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. Hey, good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning into today's service. I hope that the worship and the word really spoke life to you and encourage you to keep moving forward. You know, here at Southtowns, we love to pray for people. And so on our website, there's a prayer request tab where you can give us your prayer request and know that our pastoral staff and our leadership team will be praying for you and all your needs, whether it's individually or your family or even a friend. And so we encourage you to do that. You know, a lot of people ask, Pastor, how can I get more involved at Southtowns, even though I may not attend or I attend frequently or I live in another state? I say two things. I ask you to pray for our ministry, that God's hand would continue to move and we'd be able to make a giant impact in our community, continually giving life in every aspect that we can. And also, there are people who want to become financial partners. That's very simple. Right on our website, there's a Donate Now tab where you can click on that and you can donate funds to help us continue to grow the kingdom of God here in the Hamburg region. And so once again, thank you so much for being a part of today's service. And I look forward to possibly meeting you live when you're here with us on a Sunday morning, either at our 8:15 service or our 10 o'clock service. You have a wonderful week. God bless you. And I hope to see you soon.